Blog Talk Radio.
He's telling us that a lot of people are not going to make it. They think they're going to make it, but they're not.
But on tonight, what I want to do is I want to look into what Messiah is promising us and what the scripture says that are promised to us who overcome, who actually make it into the kingdom. And we'll look at some of the descriptions of some of these beings, that that are described in the scriptures and how Messiah is described. And so that, you know, we are able to look at what it is that we have to look forward to. So we're going to dive into this. I want the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads if you're listening online, wherever you may be. And let us go before the Most High, and let's just start with our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm of the new covenant. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I'm of the. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you, Father, and we lift you up. We magnify your name and we extol thee, O Yah Elohim. For you are our Elohim and there is none like you, Father. And we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise on today and be in observance of your commandments that we observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that we should keep. So hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to your name, O Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here. See to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call the Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commandments, your statutes, and your ordinance. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask you to smile upon this work and to give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The blowing of, let's go to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46, and I will personalize this. For there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, for near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, in the city which thou hast chosen, and in the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee in all our transgressions, wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's drop down to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. And Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The blowing of the shofar. About that, clicked on the wrong one.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just say, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? See, God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin. And with his own finger, it was personally written, but still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians, like when Christ came the Sabbath day starts switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles, like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the many? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the devil definition of Christian was those that follow Christ, and the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture as written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies, say their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu, and your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb, and Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there's no change. The Lord says God ain't changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
All right. Amen. 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 I'd like to start off this precept in the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 3. The book of 1 John chapter 3. And if you'll follow along in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Here, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Elohim. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So, we have to know that what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that he would make us his children, because everybody is not his child. As I said before, just because you're a human being, don't make you a son of the Most High. Don't make you a child of God. Messiah came so that we would become the son of God. Scripture says that the world doesn't know Elohim. So the world, when we become his child, the world is not supposed to know us because it knew him not, didn't know his ways. So it says in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. When we are baptized in his name and we receive the Ruach HaKodesh, surely we must be obedient children, obedient to his word, obedient to his laws. If we understand who he has made us, who wants a disobedient child? Who wants a child that don't follow his own rules. Don't follow the rules of the Most High. Don't follow his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We still see each other in the same body. But he says, that's not the body you're going to get. And the reason that you can't stay in this body and enter the kingdom in this body is for the next reason. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. The disciples didn't see him as in his true form. None of the women saw him in his true form. Even when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, they only saw a glimpse of his true form. But the scriptures tell us how he's going to look. So we want to look into this because it says we will be like him. And it's not just a matter of being holy. There is a physical appearance to how he looks. So he tells us that we're going to be like him. We're going to be in the same form as him. Because to be in his presence, you got to be like him. If you are not like him, you will not survive being in his presence. So let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And we're going to get verses 13 through 21. Revelation chapter 22, verses 13 through 21. Now, this is Messiah talking himself. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm the first and the last. I'm the first of everything, and I'm the last of everything. Blessed are they that do his commandments. What commandments? The commandments that he had in the old covenant, the commandments that he has in the new covenant. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gate into the city. For without or outside are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Yeshua, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hear it say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Elohim shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, Elohim shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things said, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, come, Lord Jesus, or come, Master Yeshua. The grace of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach be with you all. Amen. So in these scriptures, the Most High tells us not to add anything to the prophecies in these books, not to take away anything from the prophecies in these books. He tells us in Exodus not to add to or take away from the word. Don't go to the right or the left of it. Do exactly what it says to do. Because if we take away from the prophecy of this book or we add to it, then he will, if we take away, or if he add anything, he says, then he'll add the plagues that are written in this book to us. And if we take away, he says he will take our part out of the book of life. He'll strike our name from the book of life. Go to Revelation chapter 1, hit verse 4. The book of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, when he says his throne, you have to know that there's only one throne in heaven. Messiah don't have a throne separate and apart from the Most High. Matter of fact, from the position of Messiah, he says, I'm going to go sit in my Father's throne. It's only one throne. So John is greeting you from him which is and which was and which is to come, and saying from the seven spirits which are before his throne. He's telling you who Messiah is. Messiah is the one on the throne in heaven. Chapter 1 and verse 8. Because we're going to be like him. And so I want to establish who he is. And when it starts describing him, that we understand we're going to be like him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith Yah, or saith Yeshua, which is and which was and which is to come. I'm the Almighty. There's only one Almighty. There's not two Almighties. There's not three Almighties. So people will say, when did Messiah ever claim to be the Almighty? He claims it in the book of Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith Yeshua, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So we got to understand that the apostles were dealing with the Almighty, the Father, in the flesh. You're going to know me as the Son. But it's me, the creator of the world, the creator of everything. When I'm in this flesh, you will know me as the Son. I am he which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So he's telling us who he is. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So he's telling you again, the one speaking is Messiah. Because when have we ever known Elohim himself, God himself, to die? Okay, only time that he died was when he was in the flesh. The flesh died, but he didn't die as the Almighty. He didn't die as a spirit. So he keeps telling us, he which is and which was and which is to come, he which is the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Go to Isaiah chapter 41. The book of Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to get verses 4 through 6. No, Isaiah 41 verse 4. Isaiah 41 and verse 4. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yah. Now, in your Bible, it says, I, the Lord, with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They replaced his name with Lord there, but that would be the Most High. The first with the last. I am he. Wait a minute, Messiah said he was the first and the last. Go to Isaiah 44 and 6. The book of Isaiah chapter 44 and 6. Thus saith Yah, the King of Israel, and his Israel's Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, Yah of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. And besides me, there is no Elohim. Now Messiah says, I am the first and I am the last and I am the Almighty. Here he's telling us from the book of Isaiah, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, not us, beside me, there is no Elohim. So you have to ask yourself, if this is the Father separate from the Son, if this is Yah separate from Yahshua, then let's say that this is Yah speaking. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Then when the Bible says that Yeshua is God, then it would be lying. And the Bible can't do that. It would contradict it. But if they are one and the same, if this is Yeshua talking, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God, he's saying, I don't know a Father. I am the Father. I am Elohim, and there is no other besides me. Keep going, because we're going to be like him. Isaiah 48, verse 12. The book of Isaiah, chapter 48, and verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. This is the Most High talking to Israel. I am the first and I am the last. Same thing Messiah said. I am the first and I am the last. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 and 18. The book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You know what I want to do with this? I want to actually go get some other verses. I want to read some other verses other than what I put here. So I want us to get the understanding of what John is going through and what is going on here. So Revelation chapter 1. Let's go back and start in verse 8. We read 8 before. But I want us to read these down through 18 and listen to what John is saying. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith Yeshua, saith Yah, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of the patience of Yeshua HaMashiach, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of Elohim and for the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And I was in the spirit on Yah's day. I don't like the Lord's day there because it's what they use to try to separate Sabbath worship from the worship of the first day of the week. I was in the spirit on the Sabbath day. The Messiah said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. So John is saying, I'm in the spirit on the Sabbath day, and I hear a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. So who's speaking? We already know that Messiah said, I'm Alpha and Omega. We already know the Most High said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. This is God talking. Okay? And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to speak. Now John heard this. I am Alpha and Omega. Take and write to the seven churches in Asia. And John turns around, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now Messiah is called the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, the Most High in spirit don't possess a body made out of flesh and blood. But when the Most High took on flesh, and we called him the Son of Man, called him the Son of Elohim, this is how he looks, okay? And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. So he's looking at this being whose head and his hairs were white like wool. His head was white, and his hairs were white, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Now, if you understand that when brass burns, it turns molten. When it cools, it turns dark. But when it's burning, it's in a molten state. So it looks like fire. It looks like golden, reddish, orange gold, like molten steel. As if it burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, many people. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his brightness. So he's glowing. Okay, now in the book of Ezekiel, this same being is being described, and he's being described as looking like fire from his head to his feet. Here we're told that the hairs on his head are white like wool, white like a sheep's wool. But his head is also white. The rest of his body looks like fire. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So his brightness is like the sun. He's shining. He's glowing. And when it speaks about it, when it speaks about his return, it's saying that the sun and the moon won't even compete with him. The stars in the heavens won't compete with him. Nothing will compete with him when he decides to come in his true form. So he is shining like the sun. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lived and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So John is looking at Messiah in his true form, the way the Most High wants us to see him. Because we're going to look the same way. We shall be like him. Okay, and we're looking, hey, I'm black. Right now, I'm white. Right now, I'm yellow. I'm red. But the Most High looks like gold, and he looks like brass that is melted. That is his true color. Looks like fire. Hairs on his head are white. And it said his head was white. And the hairs on his head were white. And the rest of his body, like burnt brass. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which thou art, and the things which shall be hereafter. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. The same being talking all the way through the book, from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now let's turn to the book of Exodus. We're going to the Old Testament. Because when you are in the presence of the Most High, you can't help but start to take on his attributes. Okay, now remember, he shone like the sun. He glowed brighter than the sun. So let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Let's look at Moses. And we're going to look at this word for shone. Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. And he was there with Yah 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine that you're in the presence of the Most High 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now we want to look at this word before we look it up. It said that his face, let's read verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he knew not that the skin of his face shone, that it glowed while he talked with him. Now let's look up this word in the Hebrew, Exodus 34 and 29. The book of Exodus chapter 34. In verse 29 from the Hebrew. And the word for his face shone, that word is Karan. K-A-W-R-A-N. A primitive root to push or to gore. Used only in a denominator from 87161 to shoot out horns, figuratively rays. So when it says to have horns or to have rays, it's like when you see the sun or you see them try to depict something glowing, like a star with points coming out of it. Now, if you have ever looked at electricity, then when electric current is flowing through something, it's flowing from one place to another, little different pieces of electricity shoot off in different directions. And you can say that the lightning has horns, or it has rays, or that it shines. Okay, these words are interchangeable within the Hebrew. They're trying to describe the Most High as shining. But they use the word horn, a word that would be, that would say, oh, like a cow has horns or a bull has horns. But it meant to that this light coming off of him was pointed and had horns or shone. It shined. Okay. Now we're gonna, it glowed. So let's look at what Aaron and all the children of Israel saw. Verse 30, and when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, it glowed, and they were afraid to come near him. You've been up on the top of the mountain in the presence of the Most High, and you come down here glowing. You come down here with light shooting off of you, like it's something coming out of you. And he didn't know that he had been in the presence of the Most High for so long that he didn't know that he had taken on this attribute. But the people saw him, and they were afraid to come near him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. He came down. They saw him glowing like that. They're like, we don't want to have nothing to do with you, dude. We ain't coming close to you. He has to call them. Aaron, the rulers of the congregation. Then they came back to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterwards, all the children of Israel came near. And he gave them in commandment all that Yah had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Now, the people, the children of Israel, when the Most High came down, the Most High didn't show himself to them. They saw the lightning, what they perceived as lightning. They heard the thunder. They saw a thick cloud. But they did not get to see the Most High. So now Moses is coming down in their presence, having been in the presence of the Most High, and the attribute of shining like the Most High, he's taking it on. And when he comes down, the people see him and they are afraid, and they won't even come and talk with him. He has to call them over. And now I'm thinking with the people, after the rulers come, then the people are curious. Well, they didn't die, so let's go see. And he gives them the commandment, okay? So when Moses went in before Yah, wait a minute, verse 33. And till Moses had gone speaking with them, and when Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face, so they can see him, and it didn't shine through like that. But when Moses went in before Yah to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. So now we see when the Most High told Moses to deal with the people, how did Moses look? Did he look like an ordinary man? He glowed. And light came off of him. And we're going to go read about this angel that has the kind of same appearance, okay? So that you can kind of get a feeling for how Moses looked to these people. Because, you know, when they are trying to depict Moses sticking his hand into his bosom in the Ten Commandments, you know, they got this made white skin glow. And so they made it whiter than white, okay? But this is saying that it came out of him like rays, like horns, not like a shape of a horn. But if you can imagine light coming off of you in point, you know, like a star or like lightning or like electricity. So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. The book of Matthew, chapter 28, and we're going to get verses 2, 3, and 4. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, this is at Messiah's resurrection, and he is risen. And this angel comes to tell them that he's risen. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of Yah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, who is this? The angel of Yah, his messenger. He speaks for the Most High. And let's look and see how he looks. Because he's got to be in the presence of the Most High. And his countenance was like lightning, electricity. And his raiment white as snow. So his countenance, the way he appears, we know we've seen lightning before. We've seen electricity, how it crackles and pops, and this is what these people saw. Here's this being that light is coming off of him, and it's coming off of him, as the scriptures would say, like horns, meaning that it shone off of him, and his raiment is white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now, if you saw a being that looked like he was made out of lightning or electricity, and it's, you know, lightning is coming off of his face, off of his hands, whatever you can see of him, but he's got on clothes. And his clothes are as white as snow. You would probably get very afraid too, because this is not anything like we have ever seen. A being made out of energy, pure energy. Lightning is pure energy, and it's light. A lightning bolt itself is hotter than the surface of the sun. It only lasts for a hot second. That's why if you get hit by it, not only does a lightning bolt enter you and fry you, but it actually burns you to a crisp if it hits you right. There was a person when I was in Germany. I can't remember if this was a man or a woman. I believe it was a man coming out of the commissary, which is where you would stop for groceries in the military. And there was a storm. And lightning came down and hit this person while they were holding on to this buggy. And the only thing that they could recover was some charcoal. Just that quick. Boom! And this person was burnt to a crisp. And whether it's because they were grounded to the buggy and the lightning didn't have anywhere to go but into that metal and back into them, they were a piece of charcoal. And when you look at, there is a film that I used to use in, to teach computers and teaching, you know, young kids and grown-ups who hadn't learned how to respect electricity, that it only takes a hot second for electricity to kill you. And when it's coming into your house, that low voltage compared to what it can kill you. So when you get it in high voltage and in high amperage, it will literally burn you inside out. And so there's this man in India. He is on top of a train. And the train runs by electricity, high voltage electric wires. And for whatever the reason, I don't know what made this man reach up and grab this wire, but he did. And it's like it was just a big spark, and then there was fire coming out of his eyes. And then he fell over, and fire was his whole head, and his body was on fire. But you could see the fire, like, shooting out of his eyes. So this being, the way he looked, He causes that type of fear in whoever sees him, the angel of Yah. He represents Yah. He has the same makeup as Yah. Yah's color is yellowish orange, like molten brass. Ezekiel describes him from the waist down. He's that color from the waist up. But Ezekiel doesn't say anything about his head. And so we get a little bit more information in the book of Revelation concerning that. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. The book of Matthew, chapter 17. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to verses 1 through 7. And after 6 days, Yeshua taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart from everybody else. And he was transfigured before them. He became something else right before them. And his face did shine as the sun. When you look at the sun, if you just look at the sun, try to look at it with your naked eyes, it looks yellow, bright yellow. But if you put a filter on it that cancels out the brightness, then you'll see that the color is reddish yellow, like an orangish color. And his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. So I don't know how they knew it was Moses and Elias. There must have been some type of picture around somewhere that told them this is what Moses looked like. This is what Elias looked like. Because when they saw him, they knew who they were, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Yeshua, Master, is it good for us to be here? He said, it is to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Now, really what's going on here is when they see him transfigured, let's see what the voice says. Because there's a transference here, okay? All of the Old Testament tells them to listen to the law and the prophets. Listen to Moses and all the prophets that the Most High gave. So he says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. Now here's Moses representing the law, and here's Elias representing the prophet. To the law and to the prophet. If they teach anything other than these, there is no truth in them. So you got Moses representing the law, and you got Elias representing the prophet. And the Most High is saying out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son. Hear you him. Listen to him now. Because what he's going to tell you is going to supersede or is going to explain the law and the prophets. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore or very afraid. And be not afraid. When they saw him and Moses and Elias, they fell on their faces. But Peter wants to build a shrine to all three, separate shrine for each one. He didn't understand that the one before him is greater than the law and the prophets, greater than Moses, greater than Elias. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Now let's get verses 9 and 10. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, in the Ancient of Days did sit. Now we want to look at this description of the Ancient of Days, whose garment was white as snow, the same way as described in Revelation chapter 1. And the hairs of his head like pure wool. And his throne was like a fiery flame. The Most High's throne is on fire. We always associate that fiery flame with the devil. But it's the Most High's throne who's on fire. Now, I want you to get this. Ezekiel says that the Most High, and we're getting ready to go read this in a minute. Ezekiel says that the Most High looks like fire. If he looks like fire, it would make sense that his throne would look like fire. And his wheels are burning fire. Now, you say this to most people who don't read their Bibles. That sounds like the devil to me. Because that's the way they depict him in the cartoon. They always depict Satan as being this red devil on fire. But remember, Satan came and stood in the presence of the Most High, along with the other archangels. And the Most High asked him, Satan, where are you coming from? I came from walking to and fro in the earth. In order to stand in the presence of the Most High, he has to be in the same form as the Most High. He has to be made like him. And the angels will tell, well, it will tell you in the Quran that the angels claim to be made out of fire. Man, you made out of dirt. We are made from fire. So it says right here that the Most High, that in Revelations, that he looked like the color of burnt brass. Brass that was melting. That would be a golden, any metal that you put to the fire like that, and you make it melt, it will turn like a golden yellowish or red, golden reddish color. Yellowish red, like a flame. Now, let's read this, because everything about him has to deal with fire. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Remember, I think that is, let's go get a verse. Well, let's read this. We're going to get another verse. We'll come back here, because I want to show you something. And a fiery stream issue came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Now, we read that in Revelation chapter 20 about this judgment. But remember, this fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. His throne is like a fiery flame, and its wheels are as a burning fire. He is like a burning fire, because it describes him as being like the color of burnt brass. Okay, let's go to, let me find this first. So you can see this kind of really makes sense. One second, I'm looking for a particular verse. Go to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. And I want you to make sure you pay attention here. Remember, it said right here, it said in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, that the Most High's garment was white as snow, and the hairs on his head like pure wool. And his throne was like fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. And a fiery stream issued, came out forth from before him. So he's got fire. His throne is on fire. Fire is coming out of him or out of his throne. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein. Now they're going to burn some incense and put incense thereon and offer strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. They burnt incense at the wrong time. And there went out fire from Yah. Remember, his throne is a fiery flame. Its wheels are on fire. They look like burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Now, here is fire coming out of the Most High, from the Most High, and devoured them. And they died before Yah. So every time we see this, somebody dealing with the Most High, or in this case, or the prophets describing him, it is always describing him as looking like fire. Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. And let's get verses 25 through 28. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 25 through 28. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads. Now this, let me give you a little background here. Ezekiel is in a vision, and he sees coming out of the north a whirlwind, and it's moving like lightning. 1 second it's over here, flash, now it's over there. Flash, now it's over here. And when it gets up close, he sees that it lands, and there are some angels. And on top of those angels on a platform is the Most High's throne. So the Most High rides on top of some angels. Okay? Now he's going to describe above the angel's head, okay, what he's seeing. And there was a voice from the firmament or the space that was above their head. And when they stood and let down their wings. And above the firmament or the space that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, and as the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man upon it. So the Most High has hands, feet, legs, arms, head, hair. And he looked, we were made after his image and after his likeness. But he's a spirit being. He says, this looks like a man above upon it. Verse 27. And I saw the color of amber. If you've ever seen amber, it is the color of reddish orange. As the appearance of fire about within it. And from the appearance of his loins, even upward. From his waist upward. And from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had the brightness round about it. So the Most High has the appearance of fire. Amber. Reddish orange. And Ezekiel saw it and described it. When we were in the book of Daniel, Daniel described it. That out of his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. If you are a being and you appear and look like fire, and fire actually comes out of you, and you have a throne, your throne has to be the same way. And so we see that the Most High's throne is on fire. We see that the Most High himself looks like fire. The color of amber. And as, verse 28, and as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around it. So the Most High said, I'm going to put a rainbow here as a reminder not to ever destroy the earth by a flood again. He put it around his throne. Look, oh, wait a minute, there's that rainbow. Can't destroy them by water. And I showed this in the heavens when it rains, but I put it also above my throne. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yah when I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So Ezekiel describes the Most High looking like fire. Remember, we're going to be like him. People are looking to see their loved ones and say their loved ones, you know, look like they did on the earth. That's not how. If you are close to the Most High, if you make it into his kingdom, if you're going to stand in his presence, you can't be flesh and blood. You're going to have to look like those angels, that angel, the messenger of Yah that came down, that looked like electricity. That looked like, probably, in another word, he could have said, looked like fire. So, remember, the scripture says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that we shall be like him, him as he is. If we're going to be like him and if we're going to be in his presence, we have to be like him. When he comes, I hope I put these verses in there. When he comes, all the natural elements, anything that's natural in this world, can't stand before him, can't stay in its current state, in his presence. So imagine the Most High shows up and the mountains start melting. Iron starts melting. Gold starts melting. Dirt starts melting. Everything that is around him starts to melt. And then you come around, and you're not like him, what do you think is going to happen to you? Think you can stand in as he is? Moses never saw him as he is. The Most High took a form that allowed Moses to see his backside. Said, you can't see my face. You can't see my glory. But you can see my backside. Because before me is going to be shooting out fire. You get in the way of that, you will die. If you see my face, you will die. No man shall stand before me and live. Can't, it's impossible because of how he's made. Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on Yah's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, we read this earlier, and this is John, and the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see a voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded with the paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. many people. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his appearance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, unto me, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. How he looked spiritually. Go to 2 Corinthians. Corinthians chapter 3. And let's get verses 1 through 18. 1 through 18. And let me look up something real quick. Bear with me 1 second. So I get these verses. Okay, I'm going to add that in. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, starting in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living Elohim, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Mashiach Godward, toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Elohim, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Remember, Moses shone, and the people were afraid for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now, if Moses stone like that, being 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Most High, when we are always in his presence, how do you think we're going to be? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excels. For if that which is done away with was glorious, how much more that which remaineth is glorious? Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. What's going to be abolished? This flesh. He didn't want the people to see the glow that we are going to get. That the way that we are going to shine. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which was a veil done away in Mashiach. Now, the Old Covenant was done away with. But the New Covenant is the Old Covenant written in our hearts. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So he's saying that we can't see the spiritual aspect of what Moses was trying to show them in the law. And that we are to actually take on the form of the Most High and to become like him. They read the law and they think that just the doing of the law, but it not being done by faith, was enough to get them to this stage. But the Most High said, no, You have to become like me. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to Yah, then the veil shall be taken away. So you can see what the end is. This is how you're going to shine brightly. Now, Yah is that spirit. And where the spirit of Yah is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of Yah. Now, we're talking about through a glass. Talking about, like, if you're trying to look at the sun, something bright, you can't look through a clear glass at it. Because if you try to look through a clear glass, it will burn your eyes. It will not shield the brightness of Yah or the brightness of the sun. So when you're trying to look at the Most High, then you have to look at him as through like a dark glass, like sunshades, but even darker than sunshades. To see his glory, to actually see his form. Are changed into the same image. So, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of Yah. Remember the Most High, well, we have to go get that verse. He told Moses, you cannot look on my face. You cannot look on my glory and live. Now he's talking about we look through a glass at the glory of Yah. Same image, from glory to glory, even as by the spirit of Yah. This is why we have to have his spirit, to become his children, to become like him. And when he resurrects us, we will glow like him. Children of the light. That's literal. And not of darkness. Let me get that verse 2. Second. Yep, need to add that into this precept. 1 second. To give new meaning to this verse to you. Let's continue. I'll bring it back to this in just a second. Let us go to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Peter, chapter 3, first. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 10. Just look at how it tells you and what's going to happen when he comes, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's get verses 1 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of Yah, and our and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, people who scoff, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You're going to see how he's going to come. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Now, why are they ignorant? Because they're willingly ignorant. That by the word of Elohim, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store. So the world as we see it now is kept in store by the word of the Most High. Reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the one day is with Yah as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yah is not slack concerning his promise. What the promise is he talking about? As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, the dirt, the metal, the wood, the rock, shall melt with a fervent heat. Remember, he's fire. When he comes, everything's going to melt with a fervent heat. I'm going to come in my glory. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Why are they going to be burned up? Because Yah is coming in his natural form. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, melted away. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Because if you meet him this way and you have not been changed, this is going to happen to you too. You're going to be burnt up just coming into his presence. So he says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? If you know this is going to happen to everything else, you surely don't want to meet him and receive this. Verse 12, looking for and hastening, hurrying unto the coming of the day of Elohim, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. I told you that the atmosphere on this planet goes away. The rocks and everything else at his presence begin to melt. They melt. Metal begins to melt. Everything that comes into his presence will dissolve. Even the air. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. See, people think that the Most High is raining down fire out of, you know, like from a cannon or something. No, this is him. I'm going to show up as I am. And if you're not like I am, if you're not like me, you're in trouble. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm going to come and burn up all this stuff. I'm going to get rid of all corrupt things, and everything will dwell in righteousness. Things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Be with him in peace. That's what being saved is, saved from his wrath. In order to be saved from his wrath and be with him in peace, you got to be like him. That means you got to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Your new body has to also be like his. Or else you won't survive the new heaven and the new earth. You won't be able to live on it. You're just waiting for the transformation. You're waiting for the promise. I'm going to make you like me. And I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And you're going to live on that new in that new earth. And you got to be like me to do so. So this, we're not going to be flesh and bone. We're going to be something else. Stand in the presence of the Most High, flesh and bone won't get it. I'm going to change you into a spiritual being, and that spiritual being will be able to stand in my presence. It will be in the same form as me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Get verses 14 through 16. Remember, the Most High is light. He glows. He shines. He's also in a form that he's so hot that anything in this world can't really stand before him. You are the light of the world. He's telling you what kind of being you're going to become. A light being with the appearance of fire. You're going to glow. You're going to shine like he does. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. We're looking to that we're going to keep this flesh like this. And the Most High just going to drain the blood from it. No. You are going to be transformed, transfigured into his likeness. You're going to be do what, like Messiah did on the mountain of transfiguration. You're going to glow brighter than the sun that we see out there. And when he comes to the earth in his true form, he says, the atmosphere is going to roll away. No air. Hold on a second. Let me find the verse where he tells you the seas are also going to be gone. Second. Go to Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation chapter 21. Remember, we just read that everything's going to be dissolved. The air is going to roll away. The elements are going to melt. The new heavens and the new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They are gone. And there was no more sea. No sea. No air. Everything has melted. And the only thing that is standing up to this is the New Jerusalem. It comes down out of heaven. But the earth don't look the way the earth used to look. Remember I said that you would be able to travel the universe at the speed of thought? Because you won't need air. There won't be no air to breathe. There won't be no water. The only water that will be on the planet will be coming out of his throne. Other than that, there won't be any water. And there was no more sea. It's not going to be ocean. Whole different environment. An environment where wood and stone can't stand up to it. Rocks can't stand up to it. And if you are in that form, you won't be able, if you are in your natural form, you won't be able to stand up to it either. You have to be converted like he is, changed into like he is. Fire, the appearance of lightning, shining brighter than the sun. We're going to be like him. That's what he promises us. So remember how the Most High looks. From his waist up, says he has the appearance of fire. And from his waist down, he has the appearance of fire. We're told that his throne is on fire and that the wheels of his throne are on fire. And that fire proceeds out from before him. So let's go to this last place in Numbers. Go to Numbers. Mean or says something different to you. Where is my lesson at? See if this verse now means something to you. Because this is the blessing that we put upon the children of Israel. Yah bless thee and keep thee. Yah make his face to shine upon thee. Remember, Yah is like fire. When it says to make his face shine upon thee, then for his face to be able to use to see him in his natural upon you, you got to be like him and be gracious unto thee. What manner, what was that verse that we first read? What manner of love John, First John chapter 3, verse 1. Where we started. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Elohim. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. You're going to turn into a being of light, just like the Most High. Does not yet appear what we shall be. But he tells us what we're going to become. But we know that when he shall appear, the day of Yah, when he comes back, says he's coming back in the very presence. His very presence will cause the elements to melt. Stone, metal, the air, water, everything to change, to melt away and change. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Because we ain't like him, we won't be able to stand in his presence. For we shall see him as he is. When we look in the book, the Most High appears like fire. His throne is like fire. The wheels of his throne are like fire. His fire comes from before his throne. When Nadab and Abihu messed up, fire came out from the Most High and devoured them, burnt them up. I think there's a story in Torah. I think they're the sons of Korah. When they tried to take over the priesthood, 250 of them, Moses said, hey, y'all think y'all supposed to be in charge? Only the sons of Aaron were supposed to burn incense in front of the Most High. Moses said, y'all go get y'all censers. Let you burn incense in and come on back here tomorrow and burn incense before y'all. And the Most High burnt them all up, 250 men. Nothing but ashes. And quickly, let's get that story and we'll be done. Everything that has to deal with the Most High with us and making him mad. If he don't use some natural disaster to kill this body, when he himself takes an action, it's to burn your behind up. Second. Go to Numbers chapter 16. See if the Most High used fire before. He did it on Nadab and Abihu. Go to Numbers chapter 16. Now we're told that the Most High, that he looks like fire from Ezekiel. We're told in Revelation, he looks like his gold, like burnt metal or burnt brass. On fire brass, Numbers chapter 16, verses 1-8. Men are. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleg, the son of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. I told you all of Israel was supposed to be a priesthood. But then the priesthood has a priesthood. And the Most High has an order and a structure to that priesthood. Korah was actually over the chorus, the choir, if I'm not mistaken. He was actually over the choir, okay? And they come and tell Moses, you make yourself too important, seeing that the whole congregation is holy. And they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to take over and make this what they want to make. You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Every one of them. And Yah is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation. Why? He's saying, why therefore lift yourselves? Then you lift yourself up above the congregation of Yah. Why are you making yourself over us, seeing we all holy? Every one of us. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face and spake unto Korah and unto all the company, saying, even tomorrow Yah will show you who are his and who is holy, and will cause them to come near unto him. I'm going to cause my holy ones to come near unto me. Even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Verse 6, this do, take you, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before Yah. Tomorrow, you say you holy? You say you above us, the ones that are chosen by Yah to minister to him? Go get you some incense, and get you some censers, and come and burn incense before Yah tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom Yah does choose, he shall be holy. you take much upon you, you sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the Elohim of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle. Now remember when we read in the law, the sons of Korah and all these different families were given different jobs. And if they weren't in charge of the tabernacle, to carry it, to minister unto Yah, they weren't even supposed to come look at it. Even if they were given the charge to carry it, they weren't to look upon it. Aaron and his sons had to pack it up first, and if they had it, they were to die. So he said, hey, you've been given a job by the Most High. You're a Levi, but the job the Most High gave you, you don't want to do that. You want more. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you, the Elohim of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of Yah and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them, not to Yah. He didn't say to him, unto them. And he has brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek you the priesthood also. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against Yah? And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that flows with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us. So Moses, we ain't coming to see you. You know, so it ain't no small thing. Is it a small thing that you brought us out here in the wilderness? Out of the land of milk and honey? To kill us in the wilderness? And now you're going to make yourself a ruler over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, giving us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, very angry. And he said unto Yah, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before Yah, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Yah, all be here tomorrow. Have your behind here tomorrow. Bring your censers and your incense and your fire. And take every man his censer and put incense in it and bring you before Yah every man his censer. 250 censers thou also, and Aaron each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of Yah appeared unto all the congregation. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. I will consume them quickly. In the moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O Elohim, the Elohim of the spirit of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and to the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tent, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that Yah has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die, the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yah has not sent me. If these men die a normal life, Yah has not sent me. They are about to die, and it's not what I have said, it's what Yah has said. But if Yah make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that pertaineth unto them, they go down quickly into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked Yah. And it came to pass, as he made an end of the speaking, all these words, the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses and all their men appertaineth unto Korah and all their gods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive, their wives, their children, everybody went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were around about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from Yah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. In a moment, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he may take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. Yes, I burnt these fools up, but because I touched them, they are holy. Even after I burnt them up, they holy. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates of a covering for of the altar, for they offered them before Yah, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. So the Most High took those censers and all those men that were not authorized to burn incense, and he burnt them up. 250 of them. He says, in a moment, whew, some hot fire. Anything hot enough to melt, cause the earth to melt, cause iron to melt, cause the sky, the air in the sky to burn up. You know, if it can melt iron, what chance does your flesh have against it? He said, I'll consume them in a moment. But Yah can control his fire. He didn't melt those censers. He burnt up the people and left the censers, now telling Eleazar, now go get the censers because they're holy. Because they offered an offering unto me. Since these things were offered unto me, they are holy. But their lives against their sins. The burnt offering was them. These 250 men. So here we see Yah using fire again. And in the end, he says, I'm going to rain down fire from heaven and burn up all the souls that come against the people in Jerusalem. It's always fire. He's described as fire. And when we become his, it's just a promise that we're going to see and that we're going to be like him. For we shall see him as he is in his natural state, that he doesn't allow anything unholy to see. I pray that you got something out of this, that you have know what you have to look forward to. Because to stand in his presence, we have to be like him. We have to be transformed like him into his image, into his likeness. The thing in the book is saying that likeness is as the likeness of fire. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to place you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is your whole duty. As we go out, I'm going to play this song.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Shalom, sister, brother Miles.
Shalom. Shalom, sister Denise. Shalom, my sister Negrecia.
Shalom, family. See you all, guys, tomorrow morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath tonight.